Bye. Hello, everyone. Dr. Irene is on her way in.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Dr. Irene's on her way in. I think she had just a Zoom issue.
Do you know if she recorded the Saturday session on stress?
I am not certain yet, but we record everything. So
I forgot about it and I really wanted to watch it.
Yeah. I think that there definitely will be, if they recorded it originally when they offered it, there's some way of delivering a recording. So we'll see as soon as she gets on. She said she had got kicked out of her Zoom. So just a moment while I help her. Perfect. All right. Well, Dr. Emery likes to, whenever we have, okay. Dr. Emery says she's coming in a minute. Perfect. So let's just all take a moment while we wait for her to have a few little transforming stress moments. So if you like to put your hands anywhere on your body that feels good, let's take a few deep breaths together. The longer you can make the exhale, the better. Maybe the first time you breathe deeply today. I know it's my first time.
Hello. Oh, good.
Thank you, everyone. It's a good little reset for me, and I hope it was for you too.
Awesome. Yeah, I see Medina and a couple of other people who were on the insulin resistance call. So you got right back in. Thank you. Because it was kind of, I was in the middle of a sentence and then like everybody was gone. So Anyway, this one's set up on my account. So if you come in, even if you were logged in on your account, it still had to bump me out to get in because this meeting ID is on my account and you can only have one meeting on one account at the same time.
Oh, anyway. Okay. Good to know. Yeah. We'll figure that out.
Yeah. Well, it was the first call. Those calls are supposed to end by 45 minutes and then it gives me a break, but it's no big deal. I see Amy came in and I see Medina and a few others. So awesome. Great. Glad you guys just knew to come in. I just sent the link to our Christina in customer support in case anybody else had a problem. All right. So it sounds like, it looks like that Angelica did give you a little heart math break. So I'm happy about that. That's awesome. We need to be doing those regularly, don't we? it just makes all the difference in the world. It just can do just such a shift in how we're feeling and what we're thinking and all that sort of stuff. I do want to have you, I don't know if I'm in as a host or just, yeah, co-host. Good. All right. Super. So welcome to week 3 of the Metabolic Reset, right? Most of you have finished up week 2 and we're in week 3. And I'm super, super excited that you've come as far as you have. I've been so enjoying reading some of the things on Facebook, the progress and the weight loss and the energy. And some people might still be experiencing that shift, right? Remember we said somewhere in the 2 weeks to, 18, 20 days that the metabolic reset can be hard for some. For those of you who it's easy for are generally those of you who have really good, quick keto adaptation. And when people posted some of their numbers, they were in their ketones, the ketone numbers were up. If you were to test your ketones at this point, and there's a good opportunity to talk about it, is that you, if you're having some trouble, right, you're not losing the weight yet, you're still having low energy, I would test the ketones and let's see what's going on with them. All right. So if you have a Keto Mojo, it's the same simple process as testing your blood sugar. You put the strip in, you prick your finger, you put the blood in. Now, what you're going to find is if your numbers are below 0.5, that's not in ketosis. That's not in ketosis. So your body is in that mode of trying to go with lower sugar, but it hasn't quite figured out how to burn fat, even though you might still have some on your hips and belly, right? It still hasn't figured it out. And so you're in that state of flux. For most people, without doing anything in particular, somewhere around that 17-day mark, I hear 17 days over and over again, and that's why I keep saying 17. It might be 14, it might be 19, but somewhere in that range, suddenly you go, oh, look at that, right? I'm starting to get more energy. My appetite is going down. I'm feeling better overall. If not, then there are things to do to help move the ketones up a bit to help this process. And we can talk a little bit about that if that comes up. So actually, I'll give you a little head start on that. And we're going to talk about that more in, I'll put it into the videos for this next coming week. But if you test your ketones and you've been religiously doing the metabolic reset and your blood sugars are staying within a good range, then you'd expect the ketones to be coming up. If you're still having some big jumps, right? You're having meals and it's the blood sugar still going into the 140s, 150s, 160s, then it's going to take longer for your ketones to come up. Oftentimes, I know Barbara had, and Barbara's probably didn't test them, but my guess is that Barbara's came up rather quickly last year because she saw such a dramatic change in her blood sugar levels for so quickly after being diabetic for many years. So we can't predict in advance who are the fast adapters and who are the slow adapters. But if you find that you've been seeing some significant shifts, like several people who posted on the Facebook group, you're probably a faster adapter. I'm a very fast keto adapter. I can go, if I go 18 to 20 hours without food, I'm in ketosis big time, really big time, like very quickly. Whereas when I first started, before I really got my body in shape for this, it took longer, right? We're not going for ketosis necessarily, but it's part of the picture. If you've been doing well with this and your numbers are getting good and you don't have to poke yourself another time or get a ketone meter, it's not required. But if you're curious as to, wow, I adapted really fast, I'd like to see what my ketones are. Or if you're curious in the other direction, like I'm not getting the results I expected, let's test the ketones. So Keto Mojo does both. So if you've been just saying, why am I paying extra for these Keto Mojo strips? Somebody's got their mic on. So if we, I'm going to mute all. And then I'm going, so it leaves Angelica and I open. And then we'll change it to don't allow participants to unmute themselves. That way we'll keep it quiet until we're ready for the Q&A and then we'll open it. So that's where we're at this point. And I want to hear from you. And I know a lot of you have typed in questions. I know there were some questions left from last time, and I want to start with a few of those. Some of them are common questions and some of them are unique. And we'll go through your new questions, and we're here for you. We're here for you. So I would love, before we start, to hear two success stories. Who wants to share a success? Raise your hand like this, or raise your, there you go. Wheaton. Hi.
Hello. Nice. I'm so excited. I'm feeling good. I'm down 9 pounds, and I noticed that every time I tested my numbers today, it was 76 or 74.
Nice.
Consistently, though, even before I ate and then an hour after I ate, which is around my peak, it was back down to 74. And so I tested my ketones, and it was 2.6. Which I think is good. I don't
2.6 is excellent. Whoa, way to go.
So there's my success story. And yeah, I'm very excited.
Awesome, awesome. So see that the ketones did match up with her story of having good results and losing the weight and feeling good, right? So yep. I'd like to hear one other success, and then I want to hear somebody else who maybe is struggling in that regard. Joanne, let me unmute you.
I'm get my picture on.
There you go, you're on.
I have dropped a good amount of weight and very pleased.
Yay.
I'm fasting. I'm a type 2 diabetic, and my doctor says I'm not, but she doesn't really understand the nuances of diabetes. So this morning.
So when you say your doctor says you're not, tell me why they think you're not.
I had an 83 blood fasting glucose. And my last A1C, which was August, was a 5.3. But I spike.
Okay, so I'm going to change your languaging, and this is what I wanted to hear.
Great, okay.
You are not diabetic.
Pardon?
You are not diabetic. Your doctor is right. You're not diabetic by the sense of it. But there are changes in your body that are happening that are on the pathway to it. You would be where I would call pre-insulin resistant.
Okay.
So, and I'm just going by diagnostic codes, right? Diabetic, yeah. Your fasting is above 110, you know, your A1C is higher. The thing is, I have a feeling if you're getting high spikes, you're probably also getting some lows to keep your A1C.
Yeah, very scary. I've gone in the last 6 months from 34, where I actually had to get a Coca-Cola to come up from that. And
34, holy cow.
34, yes. And I knew it. I was sweating and I was out and I didn't have anything in my purse. So I got a Coke. That was the worst. And I spiked to 303. These are in the last. And I got very angry at my doctor because she wasn't hearing me. You're not diabetic. You're not diabetic.
No, you're not. You're pre-insulin resistant and you're having reactive hypoglycemia. Plus hyperglycemia, hypo.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to suggest a couple of things for you, and you can check into these things. Have you had your insulin levels checked?
I asked her to test it, and she said no, and then she told me I won't be dictated to. So I'm getting a new doctor.
Yeah, a new doctor's in order. In the meantime, you can do it as long as you're in, you know, the U.S. and not in New York and whatever.
Yeah, chiropractor will order it. So.
Yeah, order it. Get your chiropractor to order it. I have a feeling that you have very high levels of insulin and you have relatively severe resistance at the cellular level. So it's going way too high. And then all of a sudden you're flooded with insulin and then it drops way too low.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
That's exactly the pattern. And I test all the time. But this morning, it's, you know, these are the things I've noticed. I woke up with it at 83. After I came home from my walk, it was 101, and that was the time I had breakfast. It spiked to 128, and it took a long time. I take a long time to recover.
To come down.
Yeah, and then in the last bit, it goes really fast.
Goes way low. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Fingers, you know?
You're producing a ton of insulin. Ton of insulin. That's my guess. You're producing a ton of insulin. So you're going to have to look at all the factors, like what did you eat that caused it to go up? Are there any meals that don't? So you're off fruit. Okay. I'm going to just give you, for the rest of the metabolic reset, you're off fruit.
Off fruit. Yeah.
Okay. You've got to just get it stabilized and then you figure it out later in the later stages. I would like to see you just eating the meals that keep it steady. Maybe you're going to get tired of cucumber and avocado and lettuce and broccoli. Great. Because I want you to just eat what keeps it there. Stay away from the fruit. No grains, no food.
Oh, no, I haven't done any grains. Okay.
Yeah. So it's probably the fruit. But it's not that the fruit is bad. It's that the way your body, you have to retrain it. So we have to not give it no reason to produce excess insulin at this point. So I'd like to see you get your fasting done. And if possible, you go to the car.
Yeah, I'm eating meals a day.
Right. But fasting meaning you get your insulin done in the morning when you're fasting.
Oh,
then
yeah.
You can go back after you've eaten. So if you've eaten something 45 minutes later, I want to see how it responds. And you can try it with the blueberries just to see. But my sense of it is it's going way high. It may be that it's not so high at that 45 minutes, but because mm-hmm. it's taking a longer time to come down, that it actually goes way high and then comes down. So it's usually going to be at its peak when your glucose is at its peak.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I will get that done. Hopefully. Yeah.
But minimally just get the fasting. Minimally get the fasting done.
Yeah. Yeah. That you've been so helpful.
You're welcome.
You teach my doctor nice lessons.
You know, it's hard. It's hard. They've been trained in a certain way.
Yeah, I know.
They kind of feel threatened, I think, by all the information that's out there on the internet, and that their patients are not just sheepies anymore. Their patients are not just looking at them like they're God. They're looking at questioning everything. And, you know, if they're not open to go, wow, you're questioning this. Wow, what a great idea. Those are the ones that are they're going to be the healthcare of the future. The others are just, they're stuck in this paradigm that isn't working.
Yeah.
And people like you are suffering because there's changes happening, right? You don't want your retinas to be going bad. You don't, you know.
No, my retinas are controlled because I have a good retinologist who knows metabolism. So.
Great.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. All right. So we're going to go to, I have this sheet up. I'm going to see. Let's do an alternation. Let's let Angelica, you have that sheet that has those questions in it. And let's just go between, you know, if there's any specific ones. I was going to just like make a video, and I will if there's any specific. I'm going to look at the questions real quick. But Angelica, I'd like you to keep me honed in to this. Where is she?
I'm here. So tell me what you'd like me to.
I'd like you to start with, since there's probably the least amount of questions on the Facebook right now, and those are the newest ones, or the older newest ones. Ask me those questions. I'm going to open up that document that you created that has the leftovers from last week, which there weren't a lot. Okay. And then we'll go through, and there's probably going to be some overlaps.
Okay, I see. So I'm going to go ahead and move the Facebook questions because I think I plopped them on top of the leftovers. I'll put the leftovers at top and you
want to go through those first. Go through the Facebook ones first.
Facebook first, and then we're going
to
go
and then we'll go to the chat and the leftovers. Yep.
Perfect. Okay. All right. I will start. So Lori asks, wonder if I missed the... Okay, she went to the workshop on May 2nd, and she said she didn't get the three skills you can apply strategies for how to respond instead of react. Will that be discussed in the near future?
Say that again?
From the workshop on May 2nd, she's wondering if there will be a discussion about strategies for responding, three skills you can apply.
Okay, this is an IRSPT question, so let's pull that. No? Three skills? From Laura.
Yes.
That's happening tonight. Wasn't that a workshop?
On Saturday. I think she attended on Saturday. She's asking if there was going to be a follow-up to that, like some sort of, it sounds like materials.
Well, if you signed up for her program, yeah.
Okay. But
there wasn't.
I see.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah. That's beyond right here. I don't know. That was not related to Sweet Spot.
Okay. Tia said, is it okay during the 30-day reset to do 36 to 40-hour water fast with lemon juice or a little salt?
Sure. If your body responds well to that and you find that it really helps to keep your sugars down, and if you test your ketones up, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Gerlinda, she's having new experiences of toe cramps, calf cramps, tender fingertips that don't heal very quickly after pricking, depression, lethargy, normal with this pass.
Mm. So in terms of cramps, potassium oftentimes goes low. So what I find is that a lot of the low glycemic foods don't have as much potassium as, say, potatoes and bananas and some of those higher glycemic foods. So for some, if you're taking your magnesium, make sure you're taking your magnesium. If you're taking your magnesium, then I would add some potassium to it. I get a liquid potassium. You can get it from Good Start. You can get it from Eidon. I think it's the Hippocrates place. They have a liquid potassium, and just take like a dropper full of that and see if that helps. Yeah. And sounds like there's some circulation issues if you're not healing. So I would check on your vitamin C.
Perfect. Janina, I don't know how to say it. If my sugar spiked to 158 today, do I have to restart the 30-day program? All of a sudden it went from 84 to 184 and then dropped to 78.
Yeah. So I would look carefully at what was the prompt. What was it that caused that? What was in the meal that caused that to happen? Or was there a stressor that you had? Right? Do you have to start over? We're going to give you a whole process at the end of the 30 days. Some of you are going to be like, great, I'm going to start introducing foods. Some of you aren't going to be at that point yet. And we'll go through that very precisely when we get there. So for now, I would just continue what you're doing. Continue what you're doing. And when we get to the end of this 30 days, then we'll help you decide whether you need to go longer.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Beth said she just got her Freestyle Libre. She had some delays in the prescription and such, but she's wondering if she would start right now as if she's in week one, two, and then just do the metabolic reset when she's ready.
Yeah. So how do you, Beth, open your line and tell me how you feel about it. Like, have you been following the metabolic reset diet or not?
Let's see, where's Beth?
There she is right here. I got her.
Okay. I haven't really been following it closely, to be honest, because I was sort of so thrown off by the fact that I couldn't get. I mean, I had to call my doctor so many times and practically beg for it. So it's a different story. And then the pharmacy, whatever. I'm just excited that I have it because now
I feel like. So what I would do is I would do a week, like 5 days of testing.
Okay.
And if there's foods that you normally eat that you weren't able to test that are in the yellow column, then you just leave them out, right? So you can eat anything in the green, anything that you tested from the yellow that worked for you. Okay. And then from the red, everything's out. And then just start there. Hopefully you've been leaving out the reds all along.
Okay, probably. Okay, great. Yeah. All right. I just wanted to know how to get started.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And don't stress about it.
I also was reading a lot today, all that you wrote about like emotional health and stress. And so I feel like I've been following all of that and it's been remarkably helpful. So I'm really excited now. Thanks.
Yay. Good. Good luck with that.
Thanks.
All right.
Wendy asks, I tend to have lower blood pressure and I'm not on any meds. I find that the metabolic reset, my blood pressure goes down sometimes to 89, 57, especially in the mornings.
Yeah. All right. So this is, we've seen this happen before. Mm-hmm. And I would say there's a number of things possibly at work. It may be that your adrenals are kind of suffering, that there's been stress over the years. And low adrenal function, adrenal dysfunction can cause you to pee away a hormone called aldosterone and cause your sugar, your blood pressure to go down. So without knowing a lot more, sometimes what helps with that is a little bit of a licorice. You can get some licorice root tea. You can tea bags. They're very, some people say, and there was a question I saw in there and I'm going to address that right now, was about the yogi teas and say, oh, they're so diluted or whatever, that they don't work. I will guarantee you that licorice tea from Yogi works. There's a one called Egyptian licorice or Egyptian licorice mint. And be careful with it. Don't do too much. Be monitoring your blood pressure. I tend to have low blood pressure, but I got hooked on this licorice mint tea and I was drinking it like all day long. And I noticed that my ankles seemed swollen. And I was like, what the heck? I took my blood pressure and it had gone up. So it works. So start with a cup a day and see how it goes. Test your blood pressure. If you go for a week or so and nothing's shifting, it's not coming up, then you might be able to go to two, right? You could do licorice tinctures, but I would start with the tea because I know it can be effective. Now, if you hate the taste of licorice, then capsules are going to be the thing you do. Gaia has some that are liquid gel caps, but go slowly with them. You know, just one a day, that's it. The other way is if you do like the taste of licorice, there's this company called Licorice International, and they have these little just solid, licorice solid, and you can take that, but go slow on those because I overdid those once too. And so my body's very sensitive to licorice. So, okay.
All right, back up to the top. Tia, Angelica mentioned last week we should aim for at least 1,200 calories on the reset. Is that so even if one is overweight?
You run the risk if you go to lower than 1,200 calories consistently that you slow down your metabolism. So here's what I would say. If you want to go below that for 4 days in a row, once a month, that's not going to run the risk of lowering your metabolism. But if you do it every day, day after day, day after day, with the 4 days a month, it's been studied 4 or 5 days a month. Fasting mimicking diet is a lot of research out there on it. We did this back in the fall where we called it fasting with food. And so we get great results and it doesn't tend to slow it down. But if every day consistently you are doing below 1,200, maybe even 1,000, you can go as low as, but I wouldn't go below that. You're going to slow down your metabolic rate. And I had one person who she was stalled on her weight and I asked her to add an extra 200 to 300 calories a day in terms of good fats, not carbs, but good fats. Like she added some coconut and some olives and some nuts and she lost weight. So I would be careful about that. Okay.
Wheaton asks, she found she had bad breath and taste buds seemed to taste everyday foods differently. Is this because of the craving blocking supplements or the no sugars and only veggie carbs?
You could be detoxing. And if you get like a white coated tongue at all, your toxins coming out through your mouth, it could be that. It could be related to the craving crushers that you're not having as much of a taste for sweet, which is a good thing, right? If suddenly things that were sweet that used to be appealing aren't appealing anymore, it makes it easier. Given that you've gotten such good results so far, I wouldn't worry about it, but it could be that you're detoxing. With the levels that you're at where you're burning that much fat, you know, at ketones of 2.6, you are burning fat and fat is where toxins are stored. And sometimes that comes out in the mouth, it comes out in the sweat. You may notice that you're sweating more and your sweat stinks, those kinds of things. And also in your poop. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And another follow-up question from Wheaton. I thought chromium was just to stop cravings, but does it also help drop blood sugar numbers?
Yeah. So I call it the craving crusher supplements just to get, you know, your attention. But what they truly do is chromium, the magnesium, the DHA, they escort the insulin into the cells. And when those are low, you cannot get the insulin escorted into the cells. So it's very important for blood sugar balance. Yes. And I just called it the craving crusher supplements, just basically to catch your attention.
Okay. Violetta, since I started eating differently, I have this unpleasant sensation in my legs, especially during the night while sleeping, tingling, burning, aching, don't know what to do. Took a hot bath of Epsom salt and it helped a little bit.
Yeah. So if Epsom salts helped a little bit, it sounds to me like it might be magnesium. So if you're not on enough of the magnesium, you may need a little bit more of the magnesium. And potassium is a possibility as well.
Okay. Donna Crosby, I noticed my regular vitamins I take have chromium in it, chromium picolinate. Should I reduce my polynicotinate by one dose? Just want to make sure I'm not taking too much.
Yeah, that's a good question. As long as you have it there. The picolinate is not as effective as the polynicotinate. And I would ask a question, how much do you weigh? How high are your blood sugars to determine if you need to drop it down? Like if you've been diabetic for a long time and your fasting blood sugar started out in the 130s, 120s, you know, 140s, whatever, then it's not going to hurt you to take more. But if you're just, you know, on the cusp here, then you probably are fine to cut it back just by 200. Yeah.
Federica, I'm still not losing any belly fat after 2 weeks of metabolic reset. I've reduced quantities and fat. What could it be?
That you reduce fat. You may need some good fats and you may be short on some of the good fats. What I would do is measure ketones. That's at the very beginning. You may not have been here at the very beginning, but I was talking about that, how people who shift are fast adapters, fast keto adapters, will have the most rapid shifts. Like Wheaton shared that she had lost 9 pounds and her sugars were down in the 70s and her ketones were like 2.6 or something. She adapted really quickly to ketones. Not everybody does. I adapt very quickly. My husband, it takes him, even after 4 or 5 days of fasting, he barely does. It takes him a lot longer. And we're all a little bit different. Genetically, sometimes it's related. So I would hang in there. I would test your ketones to see if that's happening. For those of you who want to know, and you're getting to this point, you're going, well, my ketones aren't coming up and I'm not losing the weight. There are some ketone products that you can get or MCT products that can help. So I have MCT as an oil. You know, I'm not a big fan of oil, but I use it with people occasionally. And then MCT as a powder. And you can just add a little bit of a scoop of that and that will help to cause you to burn more fat and get your ketones up a little bit. And that can be helpful. But also Designs for Health has an exogenous ketone. I don't jump to that right away, but if you are stuck and you're stuck. So I would wait till you're past the 17 to 18 to even 20, the 3 week pep, and it's still stuck. Then you may want to try some of these extras.
All righty. Another from Federica, my ideal peak is 120, but I start because I start for 100. But the curve of my blood sugar is strange. Before I had a peak around 45 and now it's minutes and now it's between 50 and 30. Is this okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the time to the peak is not relevant clinically. It's just relevant practically so that you know it's consistent. If it's consistently at 50 minutes or 30 minutes and it's consistent, then you don't have to test as frequently to see how a food is affecting you. Yeah, but that shifts. It shifts based on how much you eat, how high the carbohydrate content is, how much fat's in there to slow down the glucose absorption. So that the time to the peak isn't really clinically relevant as much as how high the peak is. Now, if you're starting at 100, what I'd like to see, you know, you're shooting for your ideal to be 120, great. But what I'd love to see is that 100 goes down, right? I want to see that 100 going down to 90, then 80. That's our goal, our ultimate goal in the next couple of weeks.
All right. Edie, I'm not sure if this was answered last week, but are Yogi organic tea bags okay?
I just answered that earlier. Yeah.
Okay. And Edie also asks, is it impossible to get off of digestive enzymes for fat digestion if you have a healthy gallbladder and the other organs are healthy? How do I wean off? Been taking them daily for 8 years. I'm so tired.
8 years. Yeah. You know, everybody's different, right? It depends on what you're eating. If you're eating a lot of cooked foods that don't have digestive enzymes intact, cooked heated fats, which I don't recommend, then you should always take digestive enzymes if you're eating fats that have been heated or processed, just because those are going to be really challenging for your body. But I would say you sit down and eat a salad with a little bit of avocado or, you know, some sprouted nuts or seeds or one of our dressings. You try it. The way you do it is you just don't take it for that meal and see how you feel, see how your digestion feels, see how your blood sugar does.
All righty. Martha asks, how important are the essential oils? I haven't been able to afford them yet.
They're not critical. I mean, they help. They do every little bit that we add in here. I add it for a reason that it does help. It helps to jumpstart the digestive tract in the morning. The lemon does tend to, lemon, cinnamon, a couple of others, like the stuff that's in the Slim and Sassy, do tend to help. Cinnamon, but they're not necessary. I would say, you know, I'd rather see you eating really good, healthy foods than investing your money in essential oils.
Brad said, I often see ketones between 1 and 3. Should I worry that ketones once went to 6 after a 14-hour fast and other times 4 or 5?
Yeah, you're a fast adapter. 1 to 2 is great if it's normally there. I find that after 16-hour fast for me, I'll see them going into the 2s. The only time I've ever seen a 6 is when I've been on day 5 or 6 of a fast. So that's a little high, but I would be checking your glucose at the same time. The time when high ketones is a problem is when there's also high glucose. And that's what happens when people are severely diabetic and they go to ketoacidosis. Mm-hmm. So, and also, you know, get some strips, some acid alkaline strips, and just test that. If you're super acid and you're high ketones and you're high glucose, then I'd get checked out by doctor. Mm-hmm.
Prem, I'm having a lot of bloating after eating a raw veggie lunch or dinner. I also have a severe stomach ache with avocado, even one slice. Had roasted cauliflower soup and my sugar stayed at 92 one half hour after eating. I'm not sure if she meant, yeah, half hour or 1 to 2.
Yeah. Prem, so here's the thing. If you're, you know, there's a lot more that, you know, the blood sugar is one thing. You may have other issues that are going on. Like you may have a really irritated, inflamed gut and the raw veggie fiber is aggravating. It's like a broom, like, blah, and it's not good. So you may stick to, especially since the cauliflower soup didn't raise your blood sugar, I would steam the veggies. And that you do lose some of the nutrition when you steam them or cook them. You can make that up by getting some veggie juices or some of the green powder stuff to get some of that extra chlorophyll and enzymes and nutrients that get destroyed.
Mm-hmm. And about the bloating with the avocado.
Oh, yeah, the bloating with the avocado sounds like a food sensitivity for whatever reason, right? So right now I would leave it out. Then you can try it again after you've been off of it for a few weeks.
All right.
It's a high FODMAP food. So if you have a FODMAP problem, if you have a candida overgrowth, a bacterial overgrowth in your gut, it could be a problem.
Yep. Lou, if our objective is to gain weight, have increased energy and experience less brain fog, should we not allow our body to go into ketosis? Can we eat every 2 hours since the base glucose reading is below 90 and usually does not go above 120 after we eat or drink a veggie juice?
I would say monitor this, right? Because if you are trying to not lose weight and you want to gain weight, then you obviously have to increase your caloric intake and you're going to need to eat more frequently. I mentioned this on one of the calls. I said, everybody else, cover your ears. I'm going to talk just specifically to this person who needs to gain weight rather than lose weight. Everybody else, don't listen, because sometimes you hear me out of context or you switched over to handle something at home and you heard me say eat every 3 hours and then suddenly you're like, what? Okay, I'll do that. It's not for you if you want to lose weight or even maintain for some, but if you're trying to gain some extra weight, you're going to need to eat more frequently. I highly recommend, though, if you're going up to 120, that you wait for it to come back down at least within 10 points of where you started. So if you started at, like, say you started at 85 and it goes up to 120, there is some blood sugar dysregulation. So we don't want to ignore that. I would wait until that comes back down close. So say it was, what did I just say? Not 85. So say it's 95, then you eat again, but don't eat more frequently than that because it's going to keep insulin. Yes, it will help you to get put on weight, but it also has some other dangers that we don't want you to be exposed to. Right. So yeah, eating every, I wouldn't say 2 hours, but 3 hours is probably reasonable.
Talia says, my naturopathic doctor told me not to take the 800 milligrams chromium, only 400 a day, as I'm taking so many other supplements these days. Would that impact my progress? What's your input?
See how it works. I mean, if your naturopath who knows you, has been examining you and knows you better than I do, says that, then I would take heed, right? And then just see how it goes. How is your progress happening?
Anne Louise, sounds like this might be a good time to bring Anne Louise on. She said she's been having issues and not been able to deal with testing her blood sugar. She had an incident at the doctor last week. She was sweating, almost passed out. They couldn't get enough blood to test her blood sugar. She was kept for 3 hours. They gave her electrolytes. So the doctor advised her then to eat more food, including fruit and more calories. Sounds like we should do a little bit of further investigation here. Anne Louise, you with us?
Are you on?
Yep, there she is.
Yeah, come on and let's talk. It sounds like, first I have a few questions for you. So Anne Louise, if you can open up your mic, can you open up her mic for her?
There you go.
Yeah.
There she is.
There you are. Hi. First of all, I'm going to ask you a few questions. And I know I'd love to stay warm and fuzzy and spend 15 minutes doing this, but I'm going to just jump right in. Okay. Is that okay with you? Yeah. I want to get some answers here. So how much do you weigh?
118, and then one time I dropped a few pounds one day.
And how tall are you?
5'2".
5'2". Okay. So you're not underweight. You're not overweight. You're part of the right range. All right. So, have you ever had a problem? Did the doctor test your electrolytes?
Not Saturday. No.
No. So you went in because you were feeling lightheaded. Was it after you'd been poking? You'd been testing yourself and couldn't get blood? And
I'm not able, for many reasons, I'm not able to do
able to do it at all. Okay. So here's what I recommend for folks who aren't able to do it at all. First of all, you don't want to have a low calorie. You want to eat enough good fats. What is your typical blood sugar in the morning or when you've had your testing done through the doctor's office?
The last three was 90 something. And I think one is maybe 110. Not sure what time they were in the last few.
All right. So there's indication of that. Have you ever had an A1C or an insulin test done?
Yes. I'm not remembering what it was.
So it's in the fives.
Was the blood sugar glucose was just under what they said was pre-diabetic.
Okay. So maybe about 5-6. Okay. So there's
Six.
Say it again.
Not as high as six.
No, 5.6.
Oh.
Yeah. So, because the cutoff is right 5.7, 5.8. So I'm figuring they said you were right by the cutoff. You're probably around 5.6. Okay. So there's clearly a blood sugar issue here that needs to be addressed. So my recommendation would be to go with the foods in the green.
Yeah, I was doing that.
And make sure you're eating enough fat. Are you eating enough avocado, olive, nuts, seeds?
Probably not.
Okay. So, and then I would get the Chronometer app and actually see what you're taking in. Because if you are under eating.
I don't have a smartphone.
You don't need a smartphone. You can do it on your computer. Yeah, it's an app that you can put on your computer or on. So you just go there, you put it in, you put your food in. And you can see how much you're actually eating. Like, because some people are severely under eating and don't even realize it. And then you're not getting enough electrolytes. You're not getting enough minerals. You're just not getting enough food. Are you taking any of the supplements, the magnesium, chromium?
Solgar chromium twice with food. And yes, I'm taking magnesium, the 400.
Okay.
And, I'm taking at the moment I'm taking the doTERRA Vitality Pack.
Okay.
So that has DHA in it.
Okay. Have you ever had this kind of situation before where you got lightheaded like that? Yeah.
I ended up in the emergency room.
Okay, so this is an issue that's happened before. So I think you need to be eating more calories, I agree. If you're gonna eat the fruits, keep to the low glycemic. Just your berries. Don't venture into the others. That'll give you enough sugar to keep your sugars up. We don't know what they are because so we're shooting in the dark. It would be awesome if they would prescribe you a Freestyle Libre so you could actually see.
Yeah, because when he tried to get the blood sugar, he couldn't even get a drop of blood to take my...
He was trying to do it on your finger?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I think the Freestyle Libre, which I have mine covered because I went swimming yesterday, but it's a white disc on your arm. It's one prick, one time, and then it's reading. It's a sensor that's reading the interstitial fluid. And that would give you an idea of what's happening with it and what foods might be causing it to go up. That way, if you do, you know, blueberries, strawberries, whatever, you can see it.
And I also urinate very frequently, which affects my sleep at night.
Yeah.
And sometimes leaking and
I mean, it sounds like you need to be resetting metabolically because of the high borderline high A1C, the borderline high numbers, the glucose numbers, but we also have to be careful. So it may just take you longer to reset than if you were to able to go full out. So I would make sure you're eating enough fat, good fats, solid fats, and make sure that, you know, add some of the glucose, the fruits to maybe one of the meals. You eating, how often are you eating?
It takes me a long time to chew and I don't really do meals. I mean, I don't have a kitchen table and blah, blah. And, so kind of twice a day.
So twice a day. Okay.
I've been doing intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
So right in the morning.
So you don't eat until like noon or something like that?
Yeah. Although I did already today have some chia seeds and a little cacao and peptide.
Okay. Have you, when this happened, where you ended up going in to get tests checked out, was it morning? Was it afternoon? Was it before eating, after eating?
This last Saturday, I hadn't eaten much. I had this, you know, seed and collagen, and so I hadn't eaten much. So that was around 12:30.
It was around 12:30. I'm just thinking that the intermittent fasting may not be right for you right now. And that what you might need to do is have a good breakfast within an hour of getting up. A healthy breakfast, like we talk about in there, right? And then eat a second time and a third time. Because it sounds like you just need to maintain a little bit better. And the intermittent fasting can come later. It might be fine-tuning. But right now, you don't want to run the risk of having all these electrolytes go low and not having enough glucose in your system to be able to know. So that's what I would recommend is start eating earlier and see if you can circumvent this happening again. Okay.
Yeah. So I have been where I would almost, you know, pass out and I could see the black and white and the what.
Yeah, no. You can't do that. That's happening when you do this intermittent fasting and don't eat till noon.
Sometimes, but then 2014, I wasn't doing intermittent fasting and I ended up going to the ER because I was dehydrated.
Yeah. And have they tested you for diabetes insipidus?
No.
Look that up. Ask your doctor about that. Okay. It causes excessive thirst. It can look similar to diabetes mellitus. You do not have diabetes, but you are heading in that direction. But if you're drinking a lot, and it's just, you're peeing it all out. It could be that, and it could be a kidney thing where it's anti-diuretic hormone. So I would mention that.
The naturopath said I was peeing it out so fast because there weren't any electrolytes to hold on to the water.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then try it out. Like taking electrolytes on a daily basis, check your chronometer, see where you're at and what foods you might be able to bring it up with. But definitely the electrolyte supplementation can be very, very helpful.
And electrolyte supplementation is potassium?
There are electrolyte mixes. Seeking Health has one. Designs for Health has one. Those are good things to be just take on a regular basis until you get this under control.
Okay, so minerals in the doTERRA pack isn't enough?
Maybe not. If he said you were low in your electrolytes, now I haven't seen any blood work on you, so I don't know. But if he said you were low in your electrolytes, then clearly it's not, right? Or there's a reason.
I hadn't seen any numbers, but that was from observing me.
That was from observing you. Yeah. So I would say right now it's take those electrolytes, but underlying, like, why? He thinks that the reason that you're peeing a lot is because you don't have the electrolytes. So if that's the case, then it's why don't you have the electrolytes? Take some electrolytes and then get your, look at your food intake to see what's low and how you can replace that with the food. But in the meantime, I would definitely be replacing the electrolytes.
I also have a ovarian cyst, which is probably pushing on the bladder too.
Oh, so, well, yeah. You know, and one thing is sometimes people think you're peeing a lot, but you're not peeing a lot of volume. And so collect the 24 hours of volume just to see how much it is. It shouldn't be more than, you know, given your size, it shouldn't be more than 2 quarts. Mm. Okay. And if it's 4 quarts, then that's an issue. Yeah. And then your cells are going to get dehydrated and everything's going to go out of whack. So you've got to address the hydration issue right from the start. Underlying, what is it? Is it related to a kidney thing? Maybe the ovarian cyst is pressing on the kidney. Well, it's kind of high, but it's pressing on the bladder, which can cause a backflow back into the kidney, which could create a electrolyte imbalance. So, all right.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, Lin Lo asks, is there a way to find a kimchi recipe from a gut presenter from a past talk? Maybe there
might be in, if you go into Vital and go in there, and we've got to get Summer, remind Summer that she was going to share her kimchi recipe as part of the bonus from the festival.
Okay.
So yeah, she has a great one. She has a little video and a recipe, but you know, it's not that hard. Oh, Suzanne Bennett. Mm-hmm. Look up Suzanne Bennett. She has a Facebook group on, she has a book called The Kimchi Diet. Amazing, good stuff. Yeah, my husband started making it. I'm excited. He got excited about it.
Yum. I love kimchi.
Yes.
Okay. Kate Thomas says, I have trouble fasting past 14 hours as I get so cold.
Yeah. So, you know, we all have to listen and tune into the body, right? For some people, and come this afternoon, I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Anna Kabeka. And she's going to be talking about keto and intermittent fasting relationship to women. It's not always as good for women as it is for men. If your body's telling you that going past that time is causing you to get cold, it might be affecting your thyroid hormone balance. So I would listen to that.
All righty. Brenda, is it okay to have cacao nibs?
Well, if it's not, I've been not following the rules.
Me too, guilty.
One of my favorites lately is I get the Cocoa Yo yogurt and I throw in some cacao nibs and a little bit of chocolate stevia and I have this amazing dessert, but I'm also feeding my microbiome. So yeah, it depends on you, right? I can say some people are so sensitive to cacao of any kind that it causes a hyperstimulation, can cause headaches, can cause, you know, so you got to be careful and watch that. But if you feel good on it and your body's saying yes to it versus your body's craving it, which sometimes happens, Angelica knows that. Yeah, I would say that it's not going to hurt. There's mixed reviews in terms of blood sugar that some reviews say cacao is really helpful for managing blood sugar and some not. And I think it has to do with individual folks. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Cynthia, blood sugar came down to 90 for 3 days, but now last 3 mornings, it's back up to 108 to 110. Take chromium magnesium regularly, waiting for my DHEA.
Okay. You change anything in the way you eat? Did you change anything in the stress? How's your fitness? And the next week's talk is all going to be about sleep. So, you know, look at your sleep patterns the last few days. My days that I don't sleep as much, I woke up this morning and my sugar was 92 instead of 78. Why? I only slept 4.5 hours, right? It makes a huge, huge, huge difference. Yeah, huge difference.
Okay. Keto, I think that's how you say it. Would magnesium malate or magnesium chloride be okay instead of magnesium glycinate?
Malate for sure. Chloride, I don't think is as good. I don't think it's as well absorbed or, you know, percentage wise, but malate is definitely can be useful if that's all you can get. Yeah, I would say malate over the chloride.
Great. Jenny wondered if licorice, probably related to our licorice tea conversation, causes loose stool.
Anything can cause anything. That's my motto when it comes to health, right? Depending on the person, depending on their physiology. So if you suspect that something causes loose stool, so say in this case, licorice, you started the licorice, you suddenly got loose stool. It could be coincidental. So you stop it. The loose stool goes away. And then you do the scientific method of what? You try it again. The loose stool comes back. You've done an N of one experiment that says, licorice in me, Jenny, causes loose stool, right? So that's the way you kind of look at things. Like who said earlier about the avocado? Was it, I can't remember who it was that said avocado was giving you gas, bloating, whatever. She couldn't tolerate any avocado. And if you take out the avocado and the symptom goes away and then you add the avocado back, it sounds like she's done that, even a slice, it comes back, then there's a sensitivity there. And yeah, we want to dig into that and figure out why. That's kind of beyond the scope of this class, right? Because that can take a lot. We do a whole elimination diet in our body balance program, ERC program.
Oh yeah, that is a good diet.
A lot of good information.
Oh yes. Aura Lee, yay. I love learning how to say people's names correctly. It's really fun. Aura Lee says, please address elimination. This is usually never a problem for me. I have been blocked up ever since I started this program, even though I'm eating tons of fiber.
Interesting. What about water? So here's the thing. You tend to, as your body moves into a ketosis state and it starts to release fat, there's a lot of electrolytes in that fat. And when the electrolytes go and the water goes, you get dehydrated. So you need to drink more water, right? So I would do that. And come to my talk this afternoon with Dr. Kabeka. We'll put her on the spot for some of these electrolyte and ketone questions as well.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a good one. Adriana asks, I just started my blood sugar testing. I'm finding after a meal, it drops, raises, drops again, and then it starts going down again. What's going on?
Yeah, well, there's two phases of insulin release, and it sounds like yours are, you know, so without knowing, I'd want you to look at what is your insulin level, what is your fasting insulin level, and is it all meals or is it just some meals? Is it consistently happening every day or is it just periodically? So when something happens consistently, meal after meal, day after day, then we're looking for some root cause that's similar. But if it happens periodically and there's no pattern to it, then we want to look for, something kind of a deeper imbalance, so to speak. So hard to say, but, you know, that insulin spike, and I would say keep on going. Make sure you're taking the supplements. Make sure you're sleeping. Make sure you're getting some burst training every day. Make sure you're doing the stress. Whenever I ask people about, so tell me how you're doing, they say, I'm eating perfectly. Tell me about the stress. How often are you doing your heart math? Are you doing it 5 times a day like we recommend? Are you doing it before each meal like we recommend, morning and night? So really work on the building blocks and say, okay, something's not right. What is it that I can do? What is it that I'm not doing that's part of this program, right? Because I'm not going to come up with some pie in the sky new approach if you're not already doing the stuff that we've laid out, because that I know works.
Great. Linlo says, can she start off her metabolic reset with the 5-day fasting with food challenge? And does she need to take Craving Crusher supplements while she's water fasting?
Yeah, I don't think you should take them while you're water fasting, you know, unless we've determined that you have a severe limitation. So if you want to start it out with a 5-day water fast, or you said fasting with food, you certainly can. I mean, I was going to start everybody off that way, but I realized that some of you're all starting at different levels, and that could be so extreme for some of you that it would be like crazy making.
All righty. Barbara Andre, is there anything wrong with my blood sugar if readings are not going down continuously, but up a bit and down?
I think
that's similar to the question that we hit before. It's that second phase glucose, and it depends on how high it is. Like sometimes if you're eating a meal that has some foods that are slower to digest, then you might get a phase and it starts to come down, and then suddenly the glucose from that, you know, I noticed that for me with, if I do try to eat sweet potatoes or something starchy, that I get that very, it goes down and then it comes back up again, because now my body's getting the sugar from that part of the meal.
Mm-hmm. All right, Janina, what does it mean that I used to love cauliflower, cabbage, and broccoli, so all the cruciferous, but now I can't even look at them. It makes me feel nauseous just to think about them. Similarly with green powder sometimes. I just get nauseous thinking about having the green powder. Same goes for smoothies. I don't understand it.
Yeah, well, sometimes we overdo it and we get our bodies into having to do and having to do and having to do, and you go, enough, enough, enough. So honor that. Let it go for a couple of days. Don't, you know, see what your body, like, really sit with yourself and go, okay, what am I in the mood for? If it's not a chocolate sundae, then honor it. Right? You know what I mean? It's like, okay, there's days when I'm like, I just don't want to eat another bowl of arugula. I just don't. I just want something different. So what do I have? Oh, I have a big bowl of cabbage or sauerkraut with a bunch of avocado on it and some hemp seeds and nuts. So vary it up. Like, and ask yourself, what would, of the good foods, what would sound good right now? It's not uncommon to have that happen when you're forcing yourself to eat something, or you do it too much, right? Every day, broccoli and cauliflower. Every day, broccoli. So after a while, it's like, I don't feel like having broccoli and cauliflower today. So give yourself a break.
Right. Beth, since I'm starting to test my glucose for the next 5 days before the reset, do I take additional supplements while testing or just stick with the supplements I'm currently taking?
Okay, so ask me that again. So somebody, Beth is starting the reset now.
She's starting to test, and she wants to start a reset, but she's wondering if she should take additional supplements while testing.
No. Don't take the supplements while testing. So do the testing like just the way you've been. Then after you've done that and you got your good numbers and you know what you're going to eat and what you're not, then you can start your supplements. But yeah, don't test it. Take it to testing.
Okay. Is there an optimal, from Debbie, is there an optimal time to test ketones?
I usually recommend either morning or night. Yeah, first thing in the morning, last thing at night. You don't need to test them throughout the day.
Okay. I'm going to mute everyone for a sec. Some noise coming in. There we go. Okay, Dr. Reed and Marie is open. Okay. Sharon, how do you know when magnesium and other supplements are at the correct amounts?
That's a great question. So I start with this certain amount that I've known works. You work up to it. If you're taking, like someone we talked to early on, was taking magnesium and chromium at bedtime and finding that their blood sugar was super, super low in the morning, like, no, don't do it, right? Cut out that bedtime one. You'll know by, as your sugars start to come down, if they start to go too low or your blood pressure starts to go too low. And we're going to go through all of that in the transition. We have a whole module on the transition once the reset is over. But if you're suspicious of that now because of symptoms, then just cut it back a little bit.
All right. Lou, my husband cannot consume food or smoothies due to throat cancer. He only drinks green juice. What produce should be juiced to help him maintain weight and avoid further weight loss?
Oh boy. So, you know, I would say there's no produce that's going to help you maintain weight loss. So any of the stuff that you're juicing, celery, broccoli, cabbage, garlic, onion, any of the stuff that you've done, go to Dr. Lodi's website, Oasis of Healing, or stopmakingcancer.com, and he talks about it. But also on my blog, I have an interview with him where we posted his recommended recipe for cancer. But you need some fat in there. So when I've put together shakes for people who couldn't drink and, you know, had cancer, I've always put some sort of good fat in there. And given that there's no swallowability, you're having to have it be liquefied, you want to be careful of it. You know, you can certainly make a nut milk and add it to the juices. You can blend up like yogurt, like a cashew yogurt, a coconut yogurt, and just see how he tolerates it, that for the extra calories, but also to help with the microbiome. You can certainly, you know, that may or may not work. You may have to do oil. If you can't swallow a nut milk, right? Because you said a smoothie, too much fiber. If he can't swallow a nut milk, then you may have to add some oils to that. You may have to actually add some good healthy oils, some coconut oil, some olive oil, sesame oil, flax oil, hemp oil, those sorts of things, and see what he tolerates, because he's going to need some extra calories that don't provide fiber.
Yeah. And I will say, Lou, you're heroic for being his caretaker throughout this. And yeah, it's really cool that you're giving him juice and alternatives to the medical nutrition. Federica, is the gut rejuvenator gives her unpleasant heartburn. Can she switch to pure water without lemon?
Sure. If lemon, anything that's bothering you, just leave it out.
Okay.
Yeah. And it looks like you're going to have to be addressing gut issues. When we're through with this, there may be some issues with reflux and with low hydrochloric acid. And there's a number of things that could be going on there.
All right. Barbara, it seems that any vegetables with carbs brings my blood sugar too high. I'm losing too much weight. My husband says he's worried. Do you think eventually I'll be able to use those veggies in my diet again?
Yeah, you should. And is it, so when you say veggies with carbs, are you talking sweet potatoes? Are you talking squashes? Are you talking things like cauliflower or carrot? So I'd like to know what those are. And usually you can get to the point where you can add them back in. But if you're losing too much weight, then adding some good fats to your diet is going to be helpful.
Okay, great. Let's see. What is a desirable level of ketones from Federica?
Yeah, so between 0.5 and 1.5 is considered mild nutritional ketosis. Between 1.5 and 3 is considered a more significant nutritional ketosis. What's desired? It depends on the person. I don't want somebody who's underweight to have ketones that are in the threes, because they're going to burn away all their fat stores, right? But if somebody has a lot of extra weight on their body, it's like, yeah, 3 is great. Like, who was it said before? Was it Wheaton, right? That her ketones went up to 2.6. Now, when she gets to the point where she is at her ideal weight and she doesn't want to lose any more weight, then she'll be doing, and the reset will be over, and we'll be starting to add foods back to see what is needed to maintain that.
Yeah, Nina, could probiotics like Megas-4 help with bloating and digestion? I just heard about these, and also similar, Just Thrive. Do you think they could be helpful?
Sure. Anything probiotic or enzymes can be. I don't know enough about you to know if those particular brands are good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know for some people, spore-based probiotics can be a little intense if you haven't built up
Right.
a microbiome integrity already.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Federica, my blood sugar has initial peak, decreases, rises again, and then... Okay, so we've already answered these questions. We've had a couple of these, so I'm going to skip that. Tiffany, I take morning and evening supplements at my first meal at noon. I intermittent fast for 18 hours. Would you agree or recommend differently?
Okay, so to say it again, when she takes the supplements?
She takes her morning and evening supplements during the first meal at noon.
Oh, okay. If it's working for you, it's great, right? It's fine. If you're having two meals a day, you're going to adjust. If supplements are supposed to be taken 3 times a day, obviously, like digestive enzymes, you're only going to take them 2 times a day if you only eat twice, because you don't want to take digestive enzymes unless you're digesting, right? So I think that'll be fine.
Perfect. A lot of people are asking about the Anna Kabeka talk you mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a Facebook Live and Facebook. Dr. Ingrid.
Yeah. If you go to facebook.com/Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, that's my main Facebook page. Just go there now and click like. And then when I go live, which is going to be at 6 p.m. tonight, you can either just go back to there at 6 p.m. and refresh your page, or it should, we don't always trust Facebook to do this, it should say, hey, we're going to go live. It should also broadcast in the sweet spot, but you know, again, we're always at the mercy of the powers that be in these tech things. I have it set up so that if I go live on my page, it also broadcasts in the sweet spot. But it happens probably 80% to 90% of the time, not 100. So I would just go back there at 6 p.m. and I'm going to be interviewing her. She's awesome. She's really big into women's hormones and special things about women in ketosis, and I'm going to ask her a lot of questions about that.
Beautiful. Kathy wants to know where you can get the cover for your Freestyle Libre for swimming.
Oh, I got these on Amazon. I looked them up, and they're just like, they're Band-Aids. They're just big bandages that are that size, and they're waterproof.
Excellent. All right. Tiffany, any updates on the cookbook, the recipe collection cookbook shipping? I haven't.
That's actually your question. I know. I had a great question for you yesterday.
Yeah, we'll have to get back after I check the
stats. Has that been given to Scott to get back to Bravante?
Yeah, so we'll follow up with the team, and then we'll give an update.
Yeah, make sure. So what happened was we had sent it off to the fulfillment house, and they always say, before I send these out to your people, I'm going to send you a sample. And it came back to us, and there were a couple of spots we missed, typos. So we sent it back and had them changed, and then the design, I don't know why it's taken so long, but hopefully it should be, you know, once they get that, it should be pretty quickly. So if you can talk to them about expediting that would be awesome.
Beautiful. Lori, is urine ketone testing, what range should we be in? I think you already addressed ketone numbers.
Yeah, urine ketone testing is not as accurate as blood ketone testing because it gives you a range, right? If you're trying to get it, I would say whatever I don't even know the ranges, but low ketosis, as long as it shows that you're in ketosis, that's what you would be targeting for.
Jenny, isn't coconut water a natural electrolyte?
It is, and it's amazing, and it tastes great, and it's almost pure sugar. I mean, it's really high in sugar, and a lot of folks can't do it. I can't even do it if I blend the coconut water with something unless I ferment it, right? If I just try, let me make a shake with coconut water and other stuff, it will make my blood sugar go up. So everybody's going to be a little bit different, but it is a great source of natural electrolytes.
Okay. What are your thoughts on using a pinch of Himalayan pink salt to balance electrolytes?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a full electrolyte replacement, but it's certainly a starting point. Yeah, you try it and see how it works.
Alrighty. Genial. I am on day 2 of the metabolic reset. I'm also in CAFE, another one of our programs. It's an adrenal resetting program. Can I do them together? Can I stop the 2-day ginghams now and start? Oh, I think message is now and start next Monday when I feel ready for both.
Which ones do you want to stop?
It was a typo. Genial, can you clarify in the chat or?
Yeah, so if you want to just get one set of messages, then let us know which ones you want to stop. I would say do the metabolic reset while we're doing it, and then we'll stop the CAFE and restart you later.
Yeah.
But write to Christina, write to helpdesk@drreadandread.com, and she can take care of that.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. Prem followed up to the cacao question. She noticed it's not in the recipe collection, only care of. So she was wondering about that. So.
Yeah, you can for sure. I mean, as long as it's okay, it doesn't shoot your sugar up.
Great.
I put the recipes with carob. I think many of the recipes say cacao or carob, mainly because, you know, some people have a sensitivity to it. So I wanted to give you an alternative.
Denise Goldberg asks, when I eat cocoyo, it bothers my stomach. It feels like when I used to eat dairy. Any thoughts?
Well, a sensitivity to coconut, does it happen with other kinds of coconut intake? Is like if you eat just, you know, pure coconut or coconut shreds on things, if that's the case, then I would say you probably have a sensitivity to coconut. If not, I would say, you know, because it's fermented, some people's guts are sensitive to certain organisms. So for example, if you have SIBO, a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, certain strains of probiotic they may be using in there might be aggravating the SIBO.
Okay. Carol, she's confused about why the meal plan says to eat 1 hour after waking, and then there's also the topic of intermittent fasting.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. So some people really need to eat within that 1 hour of waking, especially folks with adrenal fatigue. Some people do better with intermittent fasting. So when you are deciding which one you are, I err on the side of trying to eat within an hour of waking up. see how that goes. And once you've done that for a while, you go, okay, this doesn't work for me because I'm hungry all day long. If I eat first thing in the morning and I can't stop, then you go with intermittent fasting. So we introduce intermittent fasting later, more as an advanced technique. But I know, see, when I first created the sweet spot, nobody'd ever heard of intermittent fasting. So we started out with the tried and true, you know, this is what the literature says. This is what we've been doing for years. And then my last chapter was, hey, by the way, some people do better if they do intermittent fasting in it. There's a whole document that I created on that. So, you know, it just depends on you, right? For me, intermittent fasting works the best. I'm best if I don't eat until noon or two. But there are days when I'm like, I really need to eat this morning. And I do. Just trust your body.
A lot of people are asking about burst training. I just want to let you know that was in our handbook that went out.
Yes.
So
what question, any particular questions about
some people it? Said, what is burst training? Lori also asked, what's the difference between burst training and intense exercise?
All right. So have you read, I will say, have you read the handbook from last week that was released on Friday? That's this week's process because it explains it in there. So burst training is a short burst of 30 to 60 seconds of high intensity exercise followed by a period of rest. It could be burst training during like a walk. You're walking. You go, okay, 30 seconds. I'm going to just run really fast up the hill or walk really fast up the hill and then go back to walk. Or it could be just spread out throughout the day. So for me, I have my little burst trainer. It's under the, where did it go? It got moved. Oh, it's right behind me. Let me see if I can show you. I have this little stair stepper. Can you see it? No, on the floor. No, let me get rid of this. Yeah, I'll try to show you. But it's basically a mini stair stepper. I'll show you how I do bursts. Keep it really handy and close. See. See it right here? Oh, sorry. All right, you can't see me, but I'll show you. You can't see it. But it's basically a little mini stair stepper. And I can get on it. It's right behind my desk. So periodically throughout the day, I can just do this 30 seconds. You know, when I get to 30 seconds, I'm panting. Okay, I'm done. I'll do it again a couple hours later. Some of the studies that I showed in the document this week, it showed a picture of like the graph of what happens with growth hormone, a hormone that's really good for burning fat. What happens to it for 90 minutes after you do a 30-second burst. So it's a real high-efficiency type exercise. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing, you know, walking or other kinds of aerobics. And were those questions from last week or did those questions come in after
we're still on today's questions.
Yeah. These are today's, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, we are coming around the five-minute mark, so I'm going to let everyone know we're still going through today's questions, but we're mindful of the overflow. We're going to be working on that. Cynthia, upped exercise and cut nuts because I was up to 1500 calories. We'll try going back to 1500 calories, but my weight didn't move after 2 weeks either.
Yeah, no, I would drop it down to 12. So I think it's a good idea. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to cut out all nuts, but you know, here's the thing with nuts. They're so easy to overeat. Unless you meter them out, it's easy to have the bowl and just go clunk, clunk. And the next thing you know, you've just had 1000 calories. Has anybody ever seen that? Ever had that experience, right? So I generally don't do the nut eating. I mean, I say generally don't. It's one of my like guidelines. It's like I will make a nut pate, which has a lot of veggies in it, or a sauce that has the nuts and seeds in it, or I make yogurts and things like that. But if you're going to be eating the nuts, do not put out a big bowl of nuts or a jar of nuts and just sit there and eat until you're full, because you're not going to get full until it's too late. You're not going to. So meter it out. Like that's the beauty of the chronometer, right? You say, what, how much does, you know, a couple of tablespoons or a handful, just put it in your hand. Okay. How much is that? You weigh it or you measure it. And then you look it up in chronometer and you go, oh, that was just 5,000 calories. No, it's not that much, but it was just a lot more nuts than I thought it was, right? So that's where you just meter them out if you're finding that you're not losing the weight.
Yep, I can personally attest to that. That's happened to me where I started tracking.
It's happened to me.
Eating a lot of nut butter. Okay.
Well, nut butter is another. That's a blah because it compresses. My husband, he was making nut butter, and we have one of those BlendTec twister jars, and he was he says, okay, I had 2 cups of nuts and it's down to 1.5 cups.
Uh-huh.
He goes, I had no idea how much more. I was thinking I wasn't eating that much. And he likes to go into the nut butter jar and just eat it with a spoon to measure it because it can be big. But I like to take the nuts and mix them and make crackers or make dips and pâtés with them where there's vegetables in there. So the volume he made for me the other day, he made a zucchini hummus, which is in the recipe guide. A lot of zucchini, some tahini, and then some garlic and the typical hummus ingredients. It's delicious and it's satisfying and it's not a tremendous amount of nuts. Well, it's seeds, but yeah.
Cool. Yep. Stretching the fat. Violetta, my understanding is that you have a thyroid issue that intermittent fasting is not really recommended. Is that right?
It depends, right? It can be a problem because it can cause things. And we'll ask Dr. Kabeca this afternoon because she likes to address that. It can be fine for some people with thyroid issues, but it may not be.
All righty. Okay, well, we're coming up to the almost the half hour. So I think this is a good time to wrap up as Dr. Marie needs to go to her next meeting and have a little bit of a break. So are there any parting words?
Yeah. First of all, you guys are doing great. Right? Wherever you are in the process, you can't compare yourself to the next person because we all have slightly different metabolisms and you can be jealous a little bit. That I'll allow that, but don't allow that jealousy to bleed into that. No, I'm not good enough. What's wrong with me, et cetera. It's just the way your metabolism is. If you're following along and you're doing what we're recommending, then we have to tweak it for you. Right? You're not going to all be going into ketosis as quickly as others. You're not going to all be reversing digestive issues. You're all coming in with a set of baggage. That baggage might be certain genetic markers. It might be certain other systems that are out of balance. So we're trying to get this blood sugar to be not one of them, right? Let's get the blood sugar piece out of the way. And then let's see what where the results go. If you're getting lowered numbers, great. If you're getting less peaks, great. Your body may not show it, but it doesn't mean that it's not happening underneath. One of our people in the program like this, she may or may not be on here. Jane. Is Jane on? Jane Boltz. She came to a call once and she said, you know, I came to this with this extra belly fat and this brain fog and this other stuff. And she said, my body decided I wanted the belly fat to go first. But she said, my body decided to do it in the order that it was going to do it in. And so my fatty liver went away and my brain fog went away and my energy got high. And then the darn belly fat went away. I would have liked it in the other order so I could see. But we respond the way we're going to respond and just do the best you can. There's no such thing as being perfect. And it's a matter of getting in and figuring out what the particular things are for you. If you really want to work more deeply, if you're really stuck and you need like somebody to take a look at it, sign up for a strategy session with one of our coaches and they'll help you dig. They'll want to see your numbers. They'll want to see how your glucose is going. They'll want to see whether you're doing the bursts and how many and all that kind of stuff. And then they can help you to tailor that. So if you want that, there's a link on the page that you can click to anytime. And it's in all the handbooks. So if you need that help, don't be afraid to reach out and get extra support. It's All right. Thank you guys so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank Bye. You, everyone.
Yeah. Unmute. I'm going to unmute so you can all, I can hear your voices. Hi.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Thank you.
We'll talk later and come and hear me talk to Dr. Kabeca.
Thank you.
Hi.
Is it easy?
Bye.
Bye.
Time zone.
Time zone. Yes,
the whole
time zone for the talk. Time zone. Dr. Rita Marie said 6 o'clock, and
What time zone?
I heard you.
Central.
Central.
People are so dumb. Why the hell are you?
6 o'clock central. So Dr. Reader is usually in the habit of saying central.
It's recorded because it's night here in Europe.
Today's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Alrighty. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Barbara,
bye.
You look like my grandmother so much.
Is Dr. Kabeka recorded? Does anyone know?
What?
Is Dr. Kabeka recorded? Does anyone know?
I don't think we have anybody on to tell us. Barbara, can you hear me? Barbara Bindrup? Oh, everybody. Hey, Barbara Bindrup. Barbara, hi. You look like my grandmother. It's so much like she's not around anymore. So it's so fun to see you. I can't hear what you're saying because your mic is off.
Volume thing up.
I enjoyed what both you and Barbara and Martha said the other day. Come on. See everybody. Still. Everybody. Barbara, can you turn your mic so I can hear your voice? Have a mic that's down in the left corner of your screen. Oh, you're writing. Got to turn us off. Bye.